Life is full of choices. Every day we make choices. And you've made the choice to come to this meeting house tonight. And we're delighted that you're here. You've chosen what to wear. Although I guess the orange order, well, that was kind of a standard thing, what you were wearing tonight. You've chosen what to wear. And I also guess that probably for the ladies it took a little bit longer to do that than the men. We choose what books to read. We perhaps at times choose what programs we're going to watch on the television. And so the list could go on. And there's no doubt that life is full of choices. God has created us with a free will. He has not made us and programmed us like robots, but rather choices are set before us and we make our decisions. And in Matthew chapter 7, those verses that I read earlier, in verses 13 and 14, we are faced with the necessity of choice. And we are confronted with an inescapable choice. Verse 13 begins, "Enter through the narrow gate." And in saying those words, I believe the Lord Jesus was reflecting on all that he had been saying up until this point. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had spoken of great contrast. He had spoken about two kinds of righteousness and devotion. He had spoken about two treasures. He had spoken about two masters. He had spoken about two ambitions. But now, as he draws his sermon near to a close, now the time for decision had come. The Lord Jesus demands us to decide whether we will be part of the kingdom of Satan or whether we will be part of the kingdom of God. And if you've gathered here tonight and you're still not saved, then I remind you that it is clear cut as that. You're either for God or against God. Making choices can at times be very, very difficult. And as I thought about this, perhaps thinking on my own life, one of the most difficult choices that I had to make was a number of years ago. I got a phone call in the middle of the night to tell me that my mother was very ill. And I made my way towards the Royal Hospital, and whilst heading up the M2, the phone rang again. It was my sister in distress. "Where are you? What's keeping you?" I says, "I'm going as quick as I can." And when I got there, so the consultant was waiting to see me. And he explained the situation. He explained how grave it was. And he said, "Look, I don't think there's really anything we can do for your mother. But," he said, "it's your choice." And standing there, somewhat bewildered at 4 or 5 in the morning, I was thinking, well, why does it have to be my choice? And why is there only this choice? And all of these thoughts were going through my mind. But I remember looking back at the consultant, I said, "Well, I believe my mother's saved, and I believe she's in the Lord's hands." And I said, "You do your best, and we'll leave the rest with the Lord." She went through the operation, and for a number of days, she remained critically ill in intensive care. But thanks be to God, my mother is still alive today, irrespective of what the surgeons and consultants were saying. The Lord had worked that situation out. Yes, there's no doubt that making choices can be very difficult at times. And when we think of Christ, most people prefer to be given many more choices than only one. But Jesus does not allow that, but rather he insists that ultimately there is only one choice because there are only two possibilities to choose from. And so from these two verses of Scripture this evening, I want us to consider the fact that the Lord Jesus highlighted 4 different situations from which we must make our choice. And in these two verses, Jesus talks about the two ways, the two gates, two destinations, and two crowds. And I want us to carefully examine each of these. And I pray that Almighty God would help each one of us to make the right choice. Firstly, let's think about the two ways. The King James Version We read about the broad way and the narrow way. And this concept is found back in Psalm number 1, where we find a contrast between the way of the righteous who delight in God's law and who bear fruit and prosper, whereas the way of the wicked are driven like chaff before the wind and perish. Of course, the Lord Jesus knew only too well the scriptures, and he knew Psalm 1, and Jesus elaborated on that picture, and he says that one way is broad. It's spacious. It's roomy. In other words, it's an easy way. There's room for plenty of diversity of opinions. There's room for laxity of morals. It's a road of tolerance. It's a road where anything goes. It has no curbs or boundaries of either thought or conduct. And travellers on this easy road follow their own inclinations in that they follow the desires of the human heart. The broad way is without a doubt the most popular way because many, many people choose the easy way in this life. But we must not judge spiritual profession by statistics. The majority is not always right. The fact that everybody does it is no proof that what they're doing is right. And then on the other hand, Jesus talks about the hard way, which he describes as narrow. Its boundaries are clearly marked, and its narrowness is due to divine revelation, which restricts followers of Christ to the confines of what God has revealed in Scripture to be good and true. Yes, following after Jesus can be difficult, and no one should ever think that being a Christian is an easy option. Being a Christian is not for wimps. Being a Christian means standing strong for the things of God. And it takes courage, it takes determination to stand against the tide of this world. But I tell you this evening, I would much rather be travelling that road, although it's a difficult road, I'd much rather be travelling that road because that's the road that's leading me to God and to my heavenly home. But let me ask you a very straight and pointed question this evening. Which way are you travelling? Is it the easy way or the hard way? Sometimes as I talk with God's people, they are depressed and discouraged because the Christian life is so difficult. But the reality is it's always been that way. God's people have always been a remnant, a small minority in this world. But we need to keep before us that if God is for us, who can be against us? So maybe tonight you've gathered and there's a multitude of things going on in your life, and maybe you're deeply discouraged as a believer. Let's remember that the Lord indeed is with us, and he can help us through every situation. But let's move on from thinking about the two ways, and secondly, I want to consider the two gates. The gate leading to the easy way is described as wide, for it's a simple matter to get on the easy road. And of course, Scripture would teach us that we're on the easy road from birth. As we travel through the wide gate, there's evidently no limit to the amount of luggage we can take with us. To go through the wide gate, we do not have to leave anything behind, not even our sins, our self-righteousness, or our pride. We simply travel along without having to make any adjustments to our lives. And maybe tonight in this gathering, perhaps for one, that's the very reason why you're not saved. As you've weighed it all up, as you've thought of the cost of coming to Christ, so you feel the cost is too great. The reality is you don't want to leave down any baggage. You don't want to make any changes or adjustments to your life, but rather you just want to enjoy living the way that you're living. And the bottom line is, you want to be the same as everyone else. Well, that's your choice. And as a preacher this evening, I cannot deny you your choice. But I would remind you of the fact that because you've chosen the easy way and the wide gate, It may not cost you anything now, but God's word says that if you die in such a state, it will cost you your very soul. But again, the Lord Jesus gives the contrast, and he shows us the gate which leads to the hard way, and he describes that gate as being narrow. In the journey of life, it's a gate that you'll have to look for, and it's a gate that's easy to miss. On another occasion, Jesus talked about this gate being as narrow as a needle's eye. And perhaps some of you will know about threading needles. I have to confess, I don't know too much about threading needles. And certainly if I took my glasses off, I don't think I would get any needles threaded. But we know how difficult that is. And for the last 2 centuries, it's been common teaching that there was a gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, through which a camel could not pass unless it stooped and removed all its baggage. And after dark, when the main gates were shut, travellers or merchants would have had to use this smaller gate through which the camel could only enter encumbered and crawling on its knees. That teaching provides great sermon material with parallels of coming to God on our knees without baggage. And yes, it's a lovely story, but unfortunately, it seems to be completely unfounded. From at least the 15th century and possibly as early as the 9th century, this story has been put forth. However, there's no evidence of such a gate in Jerusalem, no record of any reprimand to the architect who forgot to make the gate big enough for the camel and the rider to pass through unhindered. And whilst there's no evidence of such a gate, surely we can say that if a person is to come to saving faith in Christ, then baggage does need to be left behind. Sin, selfish ambition, covetousness, and even if necessary, family and friends. And so in the light of that, I would challenge every person here tonight who would say they're a Christian. And I would ask you this evening, did your profession of faith in Christ cost you anything? Did it cost you anything? If not, then I doubt it was a true profession, because there's always, always a cost in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people who claim to trust Jesus never actually go through the narrow gate. They never leave aside the things of this world. They opt for an easy Christianity that makes no demands on them. But yet, as the Lord says, if you really go through the narrow gate, then the way won't be easy, but indeed it will be difficult. In the Christian life, we must expect that there will be difficulties and trials, because following Christ is the hard way, and we have got to go through a narrow gate. Have you done that? Have you been willing to lay it all aside? Have you been willing to trust in Jesus? Oh, that you would come to that place this evening. So we have noted the two ways and the two gates, but then we want to consider the two destinations. Again, referring back to Psalm 1, it says that the godly will prosper, whereas the ungodly will perish. And Jesus' teaching was exactly the same. And he taught very clearly here, and he said that the easy way entered by the wide gate leads to destruction. Jesus did not define what he meant by this, and presumably the precise nature is as much beyond our finite understanding as the precise nature of heaven. But surely that word, that terrible word, destruction, speaks for itself. And here in our own land, there have been terrible days of destruction. Those dark days of the Troubles. And we can all recount stories of things that we can remember. They have been terrible days in our land. And Jesus says that there is a destination of destruction. And that destination is called hell. And then in that awful place, everything good will be destroyed. Love and lovingness, beauty, truth, joy, peace and hope. All of that will be destroyed forever and ever and ever. I've heard people saying, well, sure, what about it? What about if I end up in such a place? I'll not worry about it. Sure, my mates will be there and we'll have a good time together. I tell you this evening, that's awful. It's awful even to think in such a way, because God's word clearly teaches that there will be an awful suffering, pain that will last forever and ever. It's a place of destruction, and it's a prospect almost too awful to contemplate. And that's why I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus if you have not yet done so. Because in the final analysis, this broad road is a suicide road. This broad road is leading you to hell. Oh, if I could, I would drag you into the kingdom of heaven. But I can't do that. It's only the Holy Spirit that can draw you. And it's only yourself that you must be willing to repent of your sin and completely trust in Jesus as your Savior. Over these days of marching season, as men and women of the Loyal Order, you will travel many a road. You will walk along many a road. But I wonder this evening, spiritually speaking, is this the road that you're still traveling? Are you still marching that broad road leading to hell? Oh, God forbid that you would keep walking that road, but that you would experience the grace of God even in this very service tonight, and that you would turn from your sin and trust the Savior. And that's why I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't finish there, but he tells of another destination. And Jesus tells that the hard way entered by the narrow gate leads to life. In other words, it leads to heaven. Here's the wonderful thing this evening. When we come to saving faith in Jesus, we begin our journey to heaven. We begin that journey with a joy and with a wonderful peace that our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. It's a wonderful thing to know that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's a wonderful thing to know that God has chosen to remember our sins no more. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to know Jesus in a personal way. And yes, as we journey onward in our Christian lives, there will be those difficult and trying days. But all the hardship will be worthwhile when we behold the Savior face to face. Throughout the journey of life, I have travelled many different roads and I've lived in quite a number of different places. But can I tell you this evening, in all sincerity, that I'm looking forward to being in my final destination. I'm looking forward to one day being in heaven. I wonder tonight, can you look forward to that? Perhaps the honest truth is that you're fearful. You're fearful of dying. You're fearful of going out into eternity. Because you know deep in your heart that you're not ready to meet a holy God. That fear can be removed this very moment. That fear can be dispelled right here and now by surrendering your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos in his little book says, prepare to meet your God. And this evening we say that in love to you, that if you've never made that preparation, that you would prepare this evening. There are only two destinations. And so I ask you tonight, where are you heading for? Is it heaven or is it hell? So from these powerful words which Jesus preached during the Sermon on the Mount, we have noted that there are two ways, two gates, two destinations. But the final thing I want you to grasp is the fact that there are two crowds. entering by the wide gate, traveling along the easy road to destruction, Jesus said, there are many. There are many. The broad and easy road is a busy thoroughfare thronged with pedestrians of every kind. Young, middle-aged, older people are all travelling along this road. Male, female, rich, poor, all travelling on this broad road. We must not lose sight of what Jesus said. He said there are many. There are many on this road. And sadly, the majority of people are travelling on this awful road. And that ought to concern every Christian. There are many in this lovely village who are still without Christ, who are still without hope. And we need to be concerned for the lost. And we need to be a beacon of light. We need to show the love of Christ. We need to remind people that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And maybe this evening, some of the folk here are sitting in the middle. Maybe you're not even usually at a church. Maybe you've, if you're honest, very little time for being in church. Would you take note of this? That Jesus says there's many. There are many on this road. And tonight we need to realize that the Lord is calling us to come from that road and trust in him. It's also important that we listen how Jesus contrasts the second crowd. Jesus said that those who travel the hard way through the narrow gate that leads to heaven are but few. In other words, Jesus seems to have anticipated that his followers would be a despised minority movement. Jesus visualized multitudes on the broad road, laughing, carefree, with apparently no thought for their dreadful end to which they're heading. While on the narrow road, he perceives a minority group with their backs turned away from sin and their faces set towards heaven. And so that brings me to ask a vital question this evening. And the question is this: which crowd are you part of? Are you part of the large crowd heading to hell? Are you part of the small one heading to heaven? We can only be part of one group. We can't be in both groups. We're part of the large one or the small one. And so to conclude this evening, we have seen that according to the Lord Jesus, there are only two ways. The hard way, the easy way. There's no middle way. There are only two gates. There's the broad gate and the narrow gate. There's no other gate. There are only two crowds. The large crowd and the small crowd. There's no neutral crowd. And there are only two destinations. Destruction in hell or life in heaven. And again, I remind you that there is no alternative. And right now, as you sit in the presence of the living God, right now you're faced with a choice. You must decide this evening if you will stay on that easy way with the broad gate and the vast majority that's leading to hell. Or tonight, will you avail of God's amazing grace and mercy? Will you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh yes, when you do that, you will move on to the hard way with the narrow gate. Yes, you will be in the minority, but yet you'll have that wonderful assurance that you're on your way to heaven. And we say in love to you this evening that if God has been speaking to you, and you will know that if God has been speaking to you, and perhaps even you're saying, I can't wait to get out of here because you're troubled, then we say to you in love this evening, Do not let this opportunity pass by. Speak to the Reverend Moody. Speak to someone that you know that knows the Saviour. But be absolutely sure that you have made your personal peace with the living God. May it be so for God's glory. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we say thank you for the stillness and the presence in this gathering. We say thank you for the living Word of God. We thank you for these words that the Lord Jesus preached upon on that Sermon on the Mount so many years ago. And yet how they're so relevant for us tonight. We pray, dear Father, whether young or old, that we would face up to the challenge of living for Jesus. That we would, if needs be, even this very night, repent of our sin and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that even now that your Spirit would indeed bring that conviction upon those who are still without you. That your Holy Spirit would draw those who are still outside of your kingdom. And that even in this very meeting house tonight, there would be joy as we would hear of others seeking and finding the Saviour. Father, we pray for those who know and love you, that again that you will help us to be glad that we're on the right road, help us to show that to others around, and help us again to show the love of Christ over these days. So Lord, write your word upon our hearts and lives this evening, for we pray these things to the glory of God. Amen.